We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Welcome to 5 O'Clock Fire.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. It's the 5 O'Clock Fire.
It is 5 O'Clock. Congratulations. Hopefully you're off work. Luckily for you, old Dirty Ed. The DILF.
The Big DILF.
And Psycho T slash T-Mill have the latest for you. The latest is 5 O'Clock Fire is brought to you by Kirk Holmes and the Astros, which, boy, it feels like a much-needed day off. How about it? Get your Monday off in the shy. What's the temperature out there today? I wonder what it is in Chicago. It's been a little cool.
Probably a little chilly. You got chilly. That vest weather down here, so you're probably, it's probably a little cool up there
cool
in shy.
Up there in Chicago. But still a great spot to have a little day off there, and for them to kind of clear their minds as they, Lord knows, they need to. It looked close, 65 currently. Look cloudy, 65 currently, but nice little day off there. But Clint, the probable, and we better say probable, starters for the Astros.
Never know these days.
Yeah, you never know. Tomorrow will be J.P. France, who pitched pretty well. Check that. Pitched better in his last start. And then Spencer Arrigetti, who comes up with Christian Javier going to the IL, will pitch Wednesday. And Verlander will get his second start coming off of his win and great start against the Washington Nationals out. All right, we discussed this Friday. I felt 5-3 on this road trip. They got 8 games, 5-3 on this road trip. We both agreed when we lost and looked at the 3 starters that the Astros had going in that series that's one they need to win. But they play the Cubs for 3, and then they get the Rockies for 2 more. Well, for them to hit the 6-2 that you hoped for, Clint, they got to win out. Are you adjusting this? Are you adjusting this now?
Yeah,
with
no,
the loss
look,
of Christian
you,
Javier?
The six and two was what they need to do on this road trip. That was not what I expected. That's what they needed to do.
Yeah.
I'm at a point where my expectations are them go get 3 of 5. Be 3 and 5.
These next 5. 3 of 5.
No. After 8 games, 3.
Oh, after 8. Oh, the 8 games go
3 and 5. Yes. That's what I expect. I expect them to get one of these right here, and then I expect them to split with them old Rockies.
Dang. You don't think they're going to take the 2 against the Rockies?
Verlander ain't pitching. Look, I mean, we still haven't heard about Fromber. The thought was that Fromber could potentially return on this road trip, which this road trip is in Chicago, and then a day off, and they go down to Mexico City for 2 against Colorado. So maybe we get him back and we get a little spark there. But, yeah, right now, man, based on what we've seen, there's no reason for me to expect. This is correct me if I'm wrong, but I mean, we're back to teams with winning records now.
Yeah, the Cubs have a winning record. Yeah, okay. I think last I saw they were 12-8. So they have a winning record. So yeah, this isn't a sub 500 team, but the Rockies are awful.
I know there's a lot of people that were waiting for those sub 500 teams, and we just had one and we dropped 2 or 3 to them. So, I know there were some folks who were looking for the schedule to soften up a bit, but to come to a conclusion of what they're watching, but. It's didn't seem to hold up for you.
We'll see, man. This is, again, at some point they gotta get something going.
Yeah.
To me, 5-3 on the road trip would have been big for them. They can still do that, but it does seem harder because, as you said, man, Verlander and Blanco can't pitch every game. Blanco will get one of them starts against the Cubs, and then against the Rockies, and then I would assume Hunter Brown gets the other one. They've got some off days to play with. Maybe they do something where they're able to hide things. But, yeah, man, they got to make a move here. It'd be nice if they could win this series. be nice if they could take two of three from the Cubs and win this series and maybe get off to a right start. Because at some point, they got to make a run. As you said last week, yes, in 2005, they were 15-30, and they got to the World Series. But I'm certain the confidence of getting to that point you would like to avoid. You would like to avoid having to do something like that to get there. So they got to get going at some point, and these five they got left on this road trip, hopefully they can win more than they lose.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, this coming out of the NFL, quarterback on the move, and it's Zach Wilson. The Jets are trading Zach Wilson to the Denver Broncos. Zach Wilson, the former number two overall pick. This will be his fourth season in the NFL, and he goes to the Denver Broncos, who are in need of a quarterback. To you, real quick, before we get this move and what this means for both teams, do you get the sense that the Denver Broncos with Sean Payton are still potentially in the hunt for a quarterback in this draft early in this first round? We've heard them a lot looking at guys like J.J. McCarthy, looking at Bo Nix. Do you think this still puts them in a place where they could be looking for a quarterback?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Look, I mean, when you're paying Russell Wilson what you had to pay him to cut him, I mean, the only way you move forward is with a rookie quarterback over the next 4 to 5 years, and you have that. You're not paying a quarterback $40 to $50 to $55 to $60 million a year. So you they've put themselves, by cutting Russell Wilson, to me, they put themselves in a position, Ron, where they have to build this thing that way. Like you don't have the option of going out and paying big money, obviously, for a free agent. I don't even know that you have the option to pay. You know, Jarrett Stidham's going to come up before if he plays even halfway decent. Like, you can pay a rookie and get that thing started. Get that, you know, building around that guy started sooner rather than later. I don't know if they draft a guy and start him immediately, but I would think if they get an opportunity to draft one of these quarterbacks they're high on, I would think that they're going to do it.
We've seen this, and he hasn't even had really the success of some of these guys, but we've seen a guy like a Baker, who was a high draft pick, go somewhere else.
Resurrect his career.
And get better. Now, it took him a couple of places to go, but to get better. Do you think there is something there left with Zach Wilson that he could be somebody that could be a player at the quarterback position in the NFL? And do you think this matchup with Sean Payton is somebody that can bring it out? Could this be big for Denver?
Yes, absolutely it can be. You know, here's the thing is I'm not real high on Zach Wilson, but at the end of the day, the dude has some tangibles and can spin the ball around the park. Now, he's going to be coached significantly better than he's ever been coached at the NFL level with Sean Payton. They're schematically, for whatever reason, I know it works with Aaron Rodgers, but what they've been doing in New York is awful for anybody not named Aaron. Well, hell, Aaron ain't played but four snaps.
I'm about to say, so, and one of the issues was that offensive line, and Aaron got hit three out of the four snaps.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's just been a disaster with the Jets in general, not just with Zach Wilson. So I think he will have maybe not great support, because obviously the organization, the cap's going to be strained with what's been going on, and they are in a rebuild phase. But I think he, as a quarterback, will have a much better chance to succeed at this level under Sean Payton. I think Sean Payton will put far less pressure on and less expectations, and have less expectations for a Zach Wilson than he did a Russell Wilson, who is expected to carry the torch, so to speak. So I think he'll treat him completely different, and I think there's a chance that Zach Wilson going there and play well. Yeah, I think there's a good chance.
I'm not a big Zach Wilson guy, but as you said, he was set up to fail. It seems like in New York they like to do that with quarterbacks. He was set up to fail. Nathaniel Hackett, to me, is just not a good football coach, and didn't have an offensive line around him, and there was just so much. But within that. This organization that the Jets had, we saw multiple moments to the point that you made of, yo, that's why, you know, he was drafted number two. And it's not just like some throws here or there. There would be games, you know, like the second half against the Texans. this past year where he made plays and made throws and made plays with his legs and did some things. There were some games this year in his 3 years with the Jets. That's the thing, though. I don't know how consistent he could be, but you've at least seen those moments with him that you're like, if he could pull it together.
Yeah, Ron. Like,
there could be something. I don't think he's going to be great, but there could be something.
I believe this too. Like, I think Sean Payton, and this isn't just because I like the guy. I'm talking from a football perspective, not a personal perspective. Like, Sean Payton's getting a bad rap for what went on with Russell Wilson. And I only say that to say I'm sure he may deserve it based on his actions. But at the end of the day, Sean is one of the guys that I've – one of the better guys that I've ever been around in terms of understanding where the mindset of the quarterback needs to be and how to put him in position to have success. You know what I mean? Like, it's – that's the Sean that I know. That's the Sean that everybody knew until this Russell Wilson mess that went on.
Yeah, I mean, he did it with Taysom Hill. Like, yeah. It was just a quarterback position. Jameis probably – you know, probably had his, arguably his best year with them, and obviously the Drew Brees situation.
Yeah. So often right now we want to talk about Sean Payton as it pertains to Russell Wilson, and I'm not saying we shouldn't because he earned that. I mean, that's the stuff that he's done in Denver has not been impressive at all.
That's right.
But the guy that I know, Sean Payton, the guy that for 95% of his career put quarterbacks in position to succeed at an extremely high level and gave them the best chance to win, like, that guy, to me, is still in there, and Zach Wilson will benefit from that.
Yeah, so Zach Wilson, he is now a Denver Bronco, and the Jets are going to pay half of his $5.5 million.
Is it half? Is that what came out?
Yeah, $5.5 million salary. They're going to pay half of that and see if he can get something going in his career with Sean Payton.
Broncos country.
5 o'clock fire.
What if he comes up and says that right off the bat? Broncos country, let's ride.
That'd be a bad move.
Broncos country. Lock up your mamas.
Oh, man.
Let's ride.
It's a legend.
You could still use ride in that case, though.
Oh, like that?
Could
yeah.
Could you imagine the MILFs on the slopes?
He's going to have a good time.
Snow bunnies.
Oh, and he's a Utah kid, too. I know he can ski.
Oh, yeah, it's closer. Hey,
bring all you fellas up there and go MILF hunting on the slopes.
Mom will be there.
Find you some of them bunnies?
Mm-hmm.
Snow bunnies, Ron. Yeah. Real ones, Bron. Real ones.
I got them. I got the bunnies.
I'm picking it up.
I got the snow bunnies. All right, NBA playoffs get going again tonight. 3 games. The Magic and the Cavs, that one's on NBA TV, so nobody cares about it. You know you're in a tough place. That's like NBA TV. That's like that that playoff game when you used to get forced to go with ESPN. That Saturday at 3 o'clock, and you felt like you weren't even in the playoffs. That's what that NBA TV night is. when you're on there, played at the same time of the real game. Sixers, Knicks in New York. Joel Embiid and Terrence Maxey are questionable. That's a big one there to see if the Sixers can even it up. And the Lakers, they have now lost 9 in a row to the Nuggets. 9 in a row to the Nuggets. They were up by 12 in that game. And then in the middle of the quarter, it just all went to hell in a handbasket for the Lakers. I need this one tonight. I just want to see.
Well, how
that
do you feel
win.
About it?
Not great. I just want to see that they can win.
You just need one.
I just like that's where I am right now. Don't get swept. Now they win this one, it changes the whole thing, right? You stole one. You got home court in L.A. I don't know if they believe they could beat them. I mean, and listen, AD can't play. Can't play much better. He outplayed Jokic. And they still got
still
were down, but I think it got to 20 in the fourth. It got to 20 in the fourth. Yeah, it was rough. I don't know. You put money on this? Because you've been betting.
He's been betting opposite the Lakers just for you.
I'm sure he has. I'm sure he's got some bets in.
I'm actually on the Lakers plus 7.5 tonight.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that sounds like an excruciating watch.
If this...
I mean, Jokic's just...
something to watch. There's no baseball
Jokic
tonight.
Jokic just slowly suffocate you.
No, he is. He does. And it was just... It was the that second half. The others.
Well, just once he gets rolling, though, it's like if you had money on, I'm not even talking about the basketball scheme. Like if you had money on, like once he gets rolling, you just got to sit there and watch him just slowly just ease it on in the bucket.
This does feel like, do you have, what's LeBron's points line?
That you'll be pleased to know I'm on his over tonight as well. It's at 25 and a half.
Yeah, it feels like he's going to come out and be assertive.
Mm-hmm. I want to see that glaring LeBron from Miami.
You just hope he doesn't get it so you can really
he needs him to. He put that money on him.
He's ready to lose the money.
You think he wants to lose the money? Yeah, I feel like he may be assertive, but I don't know. I ain't going to lie to you.
25 and a half, you feel good about that?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think they could have anybody to stop him. I mean, he got 27 in that last game, and he was – I mean, virtually he wasn't even in it in the fourth quarter. I mean, he wasn't even – He was just kind of, you know, trying to be a facilitator, playmaker. If AD can play like that, it's the others. I just can't believe they just got out. All right, coming up, I think a lot of people have fair, at least, concerns about Kenyon Green potentially being the starter at guard. But, Clinton Tyler, I've got good news. Sometimes it just got to start off feeling good about things. And I think Kenyon Green has done something to at least make you feel good that he's off and on the right track. We'll discuss that, and I'll tell you what that is coming up next.
Houston Texas, what up?
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Cubley.
Hey, listen. I'll be honest with you. I got a certain level of concern about that left guard spot with Kenyon Green. Clint, I think you probably have a certain level of concern. Tyler, I would imagine you got a little certain level of concern with Kenyon Green. I will, however, like to share with the audience, if you are not aware, he has taken a great first step. He came off that number 59.
Oh, really?
He came off that number 59. Rolling with 76. I think that's a solid change. I think it's better. Listen, D'Amico carried the hell out of that 59, and maybe no one should get 59 while D'Amico's the coach here. I don't think that's a great number. I'll be honest with you, I just don't think it's a great number in general. And damn sure I don't think it was for Kenyon. Get the hell up out of that. I like 76. 76, a solid solid offensive tackle number.
It's America's number.
I mean, offensive lineman number, excuse me. 76 is? Thank you. Thank you, Benjamin.
Well, this is a move.
Big time.
Well, I mean, let's be honest. I think it was probably forced. 59's off limits.
You think it should be off limits?
I mean, you're selling 59 jerseys in the pro shop with the coach's name on the back of them.
H-Town on the back.
T-shirts.
I mean, no player in their right mind is going to wear 59. Like, 59 is P-Squad. 59, like, if 59's hanging in your locker when you get here, like, P-Squad's your best shot. You're a P-Squad guy. I mean, you're just not. I mean, nobody that's ever going to take the field, as long as D'Amico Ryans is the head coach, nobody's going to take that field in 59 again.
No, seriously. 713-572-4610. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch, do you already feel better about Kenyon Green and his potential performance because he's wearing 76 over 59? I'm not going to lie to you. I do.
It does that much for you.
I feel better. I don't know.
New start for him.
Yes, I feel better seeing 76. Than 59.
Who was in 76?
You are a big number guy.
I'm not saying I think he's going to roll, but I felt better about it when I saw it. Who was 76?
I mean, Big Ton 78.
Mm-hmm.
Juice is 70. 69 is Shaq.
Shaq.
77 was oh, buddy, it was the right tackle. Went to Seattle.
Oh yeah, Georgie Fant.
That was 77, right?
Yeah. Was Jones 76? No, he was 75. Maybe it was just always open.
Maybe it was one of those old journeyman defensive linemen that didn't play much.
That didn't play much, yeah. Mm-hmm. And he took that 76. I do feel better about it. This was D'Amico last week talking about, because seriously, Clint, every single depth chart I see is him, the left guard. That's what I'm seeing. And I certainly don't believe he'll just be given that spot. But every depth chart has it there, and it is there for the taking. And I don't think there's even an argument. He's probably just the most talented player that would be up for that position that the Texans have. But this was D'Amico Ryans last week talking about offensive lineman Tytus Howard, but specifically Kenyon Green.
You have guys who've missed time. You talk about Tytus, you talk about Kenyon. Those are two guys we feel really good about up front for us. You know, we talk about our line being a strong suit for our team, and getting those guys back healthy will only add to our group, only add to what we're able to do up front. So I'm excited to see Tytus back healthy, excited to see Kenyon, right, competing healthy and to give himself the best shot to go out and show what he's capable of. So I don't think he's had that opportunity fully. So I'm excited to see Kenyon perform. He's been working out. He's been consistent every day. He's been putting the work in throughout the offseason. So excited for him.
That's 76. That ain't 59. There at the end, putting in the work. That's 76. Right. What do you think he means when he says, you think he's just talking about it from the injury perspective when he said he just hadn't had a chance fully?
Yeah, gotta be.
And I do think D'Amico, like, I don't care if the guy was drafted in the second round, like, and D'Amico didn't do that.
First round.
I'm sorry, first. Yeah, that's right. First round, early.
Text line checking in. Austin Deculus slid into that.
That's right. Big body. Yeah, look, I think it's a clean slate when D'Amico got here. And I think when you look at Kenyon Green, there's always been some level of injury. And there is, I mean, I'm assuming, as I've said with other first round picks, there's some kind of tangible skill set there that made that guy that highly thought of. The Texans weren't the only team in the draft that thought he was a first round draft pick. God, I hope not. So D'Amico Ryans definitely means he's had some misfortune. He's had some unfortunate circumstances, and now here we are, and let's see what the guy can do with an entire offseason where he can prep his body and get right.
Because I just wonder, because, Clint, I believe that last year was that full year reset that you talked about with Jose Abreu.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say there were no injuries, but I think that was some of that too. Like, hey man, let's just shut this down and get this all together in terms of mindset and injury, and get your body right.
I mean, look, if this is not minimizing anything with Kenyon Green. I've been critical. When you get drafted in the first round, what was it, 13?
15.
They slid down, didn't they?
Yeah.
When you get drafted that early in the draft, the expectations, especially when you're a guard, the expectations are you're plug and play and you are physical as hell. Period. That's it. You're plug and play. You're good enough to start, and you are a road grader. You're a physical human being at that level. And he's not shown either, right? That in itself is tough to deal with. And then all of a sudden you're asking him to play injured to some degree and prepare and go through camp injured. I think he should be able to do that. I think when you're a professional, I think you should be expected to do it, and you should be able to do it. But the reality of it is that's a tough ask. It's a tough ask to ask a kid that's always been the best everywhere he went, that for the most part athletically has always been gifted above measures, and then all of a sudden you get here, it's a level playing field, it's a job. The expectations are different. You're underdeveloped, probably mentally and physically, definitely physically. And now you got some nagging injuries. and now you got a longer camp than you've ever experienced. And now all of a sudden, every week, that defensive lineman across from you is a guy that can manhandle you if he gets the best of you kind of deal. So I don't in any way, like I'm still disappointed in the fact that he couldn't answer those bells. But the reality of it is we've got to acknowledge how difficult of a situation that is for a player that has all those things going on for him.
I got to be honest with you, Clint. My biggest, maybe one of the biggest things that I'm watching during the offseason into training camp, into when this really important season starts is, like you said, fresh start. When you talked about when DeMeco gets here, it feels like everybody gets a fresh start. I am leaning on that, but boy, I hope there isn't a, boy, I really want to make him work.
Sure.
You know what I mean? I really want him to be good. And I really, because it would make the most sense. You draft him at 15. He is probably the most physically talented person you have to play the position. You really want that to work, but you can't force it, right? And that is, and sometimes we see even the best coaches that, damn it, I'm going to make that thing work. I'm going to make it work.
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen the best, you think of the best coaches, they've done it. I'm going to make it work. And that's my concern is, like, I don't, hey, chalk it up. If it's an L, it's an L. Like, you've built up enough grace. That's just my thing, Clint, is I only get concerns of how bad, just you don't even know you're doing it at times, but how bad is it? Like, we want so badly for Kenyon to be the guard there that they force it, like they did with Tavier Thomas as a slot corner, like they did with Titus Howard playing guard.
It's not crazy at this point. Think about what we saw last year on the interior offensive line. They let Michael Dieter walk. Juice Scruggs can only play one of the two positions. Titus Howard has got to be back to tackle.
Yep.
So, I mean, you've already, Titus Howard's gone to tackle. You let Michael Dieter walk. I'm assuming the plan is to move Juice Scruggs to center. I mean, I don't know how, if I'm the coach, like I have a hard time letting Michael Dieter walk. Like that's a guy that you cut him.
He can play all the positions.
All the interior positions, and clearly he can play center good enough
to get you to the
second round of the damn playoffs. Like, and now you're telling me that guy's not even good enough to be in your rotation? Like, that is they're already leaning in a way of, hey, we're dependent on 59.
And you haven't added any. And you haven't really added any.
Right. Yeah, right. We're not going to depend on the guy that ended up being our answer at center so that we could then have an answer at guard. Right? No, we're going to let him walk, and we're going to bank on these other guys filling in. And we don't even want the guy that started at center. We don't even need him as depth. Like, that's, you're already leaning towards Kenyon Green better work out. He's got to at least be a depth piece that you can depend on.
Yeah.
Right?
Right now, unless they go and draft somebody.
Yeah.
Right now, it's like, hey, man, that's where we are. And maybe Patterson behind him if it doesn't work. But that's where we are. All right. As we continue rolling through on the drive, I saw some people say who their face was, and I am not surprised by the answer, but I think it's a bit unfair. The face of who you look at, the first face you see when you think about the Astros being 9 games out of 5, under 500, and 5 games out of first place. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, jump in here, 713-572-4610. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch, when you think about the Astros struggling, when you think about the Astros 7-16, a game and a half out of the A's.
It's not ideal.
In last place.
We still chasing the A's?
Yep. 5 games. Did the A's win today? After that screw job that happened? To Aaron Boone, I know you hate the Yankees. That was one of the...
The A's won 2-0.
All right, so you're a full 2 games back of the A's now. As they pick up a half a game on the Astros. You're now 5 games back on a struggling Rangers team who are just 1 game over 500. When you think about the face that comes to mind, the first face you see that comes to mind thinking about the Astros' struggles, them being in the place that they're in, what's the first face? 713-572-4610. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch, by the way, we appreciate all of you. Those of you riding hard with us now and you're back and you can hear us smoothly, we appreciate y'all asses. We appreciate you, excuse me. We appreciate you watching us, YouTube, Twitch, Odyssey app, however you're taking us in, we appreciate you. But who is the first face you see? Tyler, who's the face? What's the face you see when you think about this Astros struggle fest to start the season? What's the face you close your eyes? What's the one you see?
I see this morphed new kind of figure that's a combination of Luis Garcia, Urquidy, Verlander, all the starting pitchers that hurt. I see them morph together into this one new face.
So you see the injury to the starting pitcher. Yeah. That's what you see.
That or Dana Brown's face. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Somebody checked in. Jose Abreu.
That'll be
see
a popular
Mallory
one.
Seven on YouTube and Twitch. Jose Abreu, because we're just playing like yes.
Well,
Jose Abreu checking in again on the text line. Jim and Dana. Jim Crane and Dana Brown, or Dana Espada, wow, whichever one you want to go with.
This one's got Presley written all over for me.
Is that who you see?
Yep.
You know what? I applaud you for that.
This one's got Presley written all over for me. I mean, there
becoming
is
becoming hard to watch.
Yeah, it is. It is. The Abreu thing is low hanging fruit simply because that's the one move that you can see just has to be made because there's no answer. He's broken. I mean, it's just done. The money shouldn't slow it down. He's done.
Is Ryan?
But Ryan. Well, I think he's
broken at least to the point you said.
I think he needs a hard reset. I think he needs 2 week vacay.
Paid.
Yes. Yes. The Astros should pay for it. Send a private jet. No, you have to send it. Hell, they're here. Just put it. Just get it out. Get the pilots. Get it warmed up.
Hate you, Tyler. Now everybody's mixing in faces.
And get it out of here.
But you could see, like, where I was coming from, though. I wasn't just picking some random players mixing and putting them faces together.
Yeah, I applaud you on the Presley thing because I think it's hard for people to get there, to want to look. Easy, as you said, it's easy to look at Abreu because, you know, there's not as much history with Abreu, right? And people have been wanting Yuli since he stepped in to begin with, regardless, no matter what his second half was or as September and October was last year. My man Tommy here, I give you Presley / Abreu morphing as well there. I give you that because Presley, I will argue, I mean, hell, right now, to be honest, this cat's been batting eighth in Abreu and he's playing half the damn games, to be frank with you. He's not even playing as much. Ryan Presley is killing you 10 times, 15 times more than Jose Abreu is.
Yeah, I mean, here's the deal, man. Ryan Presley has given up an earned run or more in 5 of his 10 outings this year as a setup guy. Like, you just can't do it. You can't have it. I mean, and it to me, it looks like Ryan Presley. Like I said the other day, I wasn't watching in this most recent one. Look, I understand there's been errors behind him. I get it. But two outings ago, I think it was, not this last one, but two, like one of the pitching coaches comes out there and he's talking to him, he's not even looking at him. He just seems to be defeated. I'll put it this way. I think this is safe. I think this is fair. He's not clear-minded. He's not going out there.
He certainly don't appear to be in a good space.
Right. He is not towing the rubber going, get up there, let's dance. I mean, it's not. He needs a hard reset. And at this point in time, when an eighth inning guy has given up runs in half of his outings, ten outings into the season, we've got to reset this thing. And to me, you've got the ability to do it with Brian Abreu, with Montero, with Dubin, with these guys that are, look, even I'm not saying they're going to be an upgrade, but you've got answers. Like, you're not strained. Like, I don't think you're straining the team when you say
Abreu has started to pitch a little bit better. His ERA is still nearing six, but right. it's started.
Well, but a lot of it too. It's like a Hader's been bad too. But
he's still in the eights.
But when I see those guys pitch, like I don't see a guy that's frustrated before he ever throws a pitch.
I don't. I feel honest to God when Presley comes out, and I know maybe this has to do with me, you know, not having a, you know, that natural fan, you know, feeling towards Ryan Presley. Tyler, I've got the same level of confidence, damn near, maybe a smidge more in Ryan Presley when he's on the mound than I do with Jose Abreu when he's at the plate. Like right, like
this year, I don't think right now,
when he comes out, like when he got up there in that eighth, I'm like, because it feels like, hey, everything go right to start, everything of it. If he can get the first out, bam, and then as soon as adversity hits, it feels like, oh god, somewhere he's gonna miss, he's gonna do something, they're gonna be all over it, and it was from the text line. I see Bagwell, I see Dusty because they need to bring him back. I see Espada. I see Dana and Espada. Dana Espada is what I call it. I ain't gonna lie, fellas. I see Jim Crane. Like, I don't want to, I'm not gonna cheat it and start morphing faces together like many of you have taken Tyler's lead. I see Jim Crane because to me, a lot of this has started with a big thing for me. And I know you said on the field, but I think, like, even overall, I think they are really struggling with a leadership deal, and I think it's just because they got too many dudes in there that have some sort of authority or feel that is more than just suggestions. Like, they just got too many damn cooks in there. You got Reggie. That's the first part. You got Reggie. You got Jeff. You got Craig Biggio now that we found out. You got Dana, because I don't think Espada's making any calls. I really don't. Not very many. Like, there's just too many guys throwing here out. Here, let's do this, let's do this, let's do that. And they have slowly, and now the last year and a half, picked up with speed to get away from what got them to be this the type of team that they have been. Right, and then I think that now kind of trickles down to now Dusty's gone. And you all make the decision for a team that you think's a World Series team to have somebody who ain't never, ever had experience doing it before. And, hey, let's go big game hunting to get Hader. And let's go. Like, I Abreu, he's a part of a lot of these decisions. I look at Jim right now because I just feel like the lack of concrete plan of what it is that we're going to do and too many people, you know, with decision-making power. It feels like they've gone from suggestion makers to everybody's got 25% of what they want to, what they think should happen. And then they're out there doing it. Like, so Jim to me is the man at the top that I'm just like, yo.
Well, it's,
you've led this sucker.
It's hard to look at the Abreu situation, the Hader situation last year, you know, re-upping, which looks good right now, obviously, but last year it didn't with Montero, you know, different people making all these decisions and then it just not working out on Joe Espada's watch and Dana Brown's watch. So we'll see if they can right the ship, man. But it's just, for me, you ask me who is.
It's
if you're gonna put one face, you're gonna put one face on what's going on right now with the Astros. The biggest for me, the biggest I think shocker, my biggest concern, the biggest impact that's been had negatively, Ryan Presley.
I think that's fair. Just saying he's killing you as much as anybody else. Because if we could count it down before the season started, I see Abreu rolling in. I think he just angers you. But before the season started, I think there's an argument he's the 12th or 13th most important player on the team. And I think there's an argument that Ryan Presley's in the top five, six, yep, right there. And you said it multiple times. This team could still be winning a lot more than they are, even with Abreu stinking it up to damn near the levels that he stunk it up last year. But they can't with Presley and Hader pitching the way they are. They can't with some of the other things
Well, it's just hard. And Lopez said it earlier about how, you know, you're getting really good baseball from, you know, your Altuve, Alvarez, Tucker, Pena. You get, I mean, they're swinging it well, and they're still. Do you guys know this? How about this stat? I saw this last night on the game, or yesterday. I think it was yesterday. Right now, Jose Altuve, I think in his MVP season, he played in 153 games, I think if I read that correctly. Right now, in his last 153 games, he's playing better baseball than he did in his MVP season. Now, we're obviously, you know, to over two seasons and kind of adding 153. But he is, over the last 100, of the most recent 153 games of his career, right now, he has put up better numbers in multiple big-time categories and is playing better baseball right now. I'm saying playing better, hitting the baseball better right now than he was his MVP season.
Yeah, I think that's part of what John Lopez was saying earlier when he said it's over, is, man, how much better can Altuve play?
Yeah.
You know, Alvarez has played pretty well. Jeremy Pena has bounced the hell back. Yiner Diaz has played well. Like, God, who knew you were going to get this out of Blanco? I love Ron Nail. I love Nail. But who knew you was going to get this out of him? And they are fighting it at 7-16. All right. The A's have 9 wins on the season now. All right, coming up behind us, Texans All Access. New Uniforms Eve. They'll be discussing that as well as conversations and discussions about Stephon Diggs. So stay tuned to listen to the fellas. And then Area 45 live after them, 7-11. No Astros post game tonight, but you can still hear the fellas. I think Byron's in the building. I see Byron back there. Byron, I've seen him. He's in the building. There he is in front of me. As Chris Santiago is out, you can hear Patrick Creighton and Sean Bajani as they will have this thing rolling out here. Shout out again to you, Clint. Great job. Tyler, great job. And shout out to Kaya for making my neck and my back. Damn. All right, I am Ron Hughley. As always, Houston, we love you, baby.
When we start talking about nuts, that is closer to nuts than this group has done.
Inadvertent grazes of the testes. It hurt like hell.
You got the hardest nuts out there. Y'all got super nuts. God didn't make me with super nuts.
Some deluxe nuts laid out on the table.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.